the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The 72 disciples returned rejoicing and said to Jesus, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I observe Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven." At that very moment, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. No one knows who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." Turning to the disciples in private, he said, "Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear but didn't hear it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we have the blessed chance on this feast of Saint Therese to enter into Jesus' own prayer in the Gospel, which he turned to the Father and said, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." Jesus begins his prayer always to the Father and always with praise. "For although you have hidden these things from the wise and the clever, all the geniuses, all the scribes and the Pharisees, all the haughty, you've revealed them to the childlike, not the childish. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will, that the will of God is to reveal himself, but we can't see what God wants us to see or hear what God wants us to hear unless we become like children. All things have been handed over to the Son by the Father, including the capacity to know who the Father is. And Jesus wants to give us that gift, but there's only one way to receive it: with the joy and enthusiasm of a little child on Christmas Day." So Jesus finished this passage by saying, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see," because so many, like Job, for example, desired to see it, but didn't. "To hear what you hear, but didn't." What an extraordinary treasure it is, but we have to absorb that treasure with childlike faith. At the beginning of this Gospel, there's an ambiguous passage, and I keep going back and forth in terms of what the real meaning of it is, because I love both so much. The first is when they come back and they report with enthusiasm, "Even the demons are subject to your name. They obey us. There's power over the devil." Jesus says, either with a smile on his face to encourage them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky." Or, flipping it, he reminds them that he had seen Satan fall like lightning from the sky because of Satan's pride. So he was warning them, perhaps, against inflating themselves by identifying too much with the power he had given them. So a little gentle correction he gave them as well. Don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because you have a part in the Father's love. Rejoice because God the Father sent you his own incarnate Son so that you can see and hear and follow God all the way to see that book where your names are written, as the book of Revelation would expound upon. At the beginning of today's Mass, each of us prayed to the Father that the Father would give us the gift of guiding us to follow the little way of Saint Therese, which is this way of spiritual childhood, so that we can enter into relationship with God and experience all the gifts that he wishes to give us, because our names likewise are written in heaven. What is this little way of spiritual childhood? Lots of books have been written about it. People generally have good ideas, but no precision, because even though Saint Therese was a doctor of the church, she didn't write theological treatises in what we might say Ratzingerian didactic clarity. She had written it in her beautiful poetry. She had written it in her letters. She had written it in her spiritual autobiography Under Obedience. But what's it all about? St. John Paul II in 1997, when he wrote an extraordinary letter about why he was declaring her a doctor of the church, said that the little way of spiritual childhood is the way of divine filiation. It's the way where, moved by the Holy Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father, not just in our prayer, but in our life. We have total confidence in the Father. St. Therese herself, when she was trying to describe it, this path of trust and love, combined two passages about entering the kingdom. The first is, unless you convert and become like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And the second is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven as little children, we must be poor in spirit. What does that mean? We recognize that we have nothing, that God has everything, and that God wishes to bless us with himself, and in that, give us everything. She said, so many of us live life like the prodigal son. We can't wait to grow up. Can't wait to see you, Dad. I'll take it on my own now. Don't need you anymore. Can I help you? No, don't need your help. I got it. She said, I never want to grow up, literally. She said she always wants to remain small. She always wants to go before the Lord, recognizing that she's got empty hands, so that God would be able to fill her with what exactly she needed. Starts with this spiritual poverty. But then, because of that spiritual poverty, the second step in her spiritual childhood is an extraordinary trust in the mercy of God, that God will always provide. And because one is a little child before a loving God, she had no fear of him. She has some of the most profound meditations on the meaning of the Incarnation. And you helped me to have more profound meditations on the Incarnation on Tuesday in our conversation after Mass and preparing for next week, and I thank you very much for that. But she said, how could we ever be afraid of a God who loved us so much that he became a little baby? At a time where Jansenism still reigned in France, where so many people were so afraid of God. It's a Catholic form of Calvinism. Saint Therese cured it by her little way of spiritual childhood. But she said, we've got to look at a little baby and see, is that little baby going to scream and condemn us forever to hell? It would be totally against the whole path that he's taken. He became small so that we would never be intimidated by him. She said, with regard to our sins, can't we recognize that our sins, even though they be great, are minuscule compared to the Lord's compassion, that a misery is nothing compared to his mercy. She gave an analogy of a mother. She said, if a little boy is breaking everything, and the little boy breaks or sins, and then goes sulks in the corner, it would be a little bit harder for a human parent to forgive in a circumstance like that. But imagine the mother who knows that the little boy is always going to break things. It's not always his fault. That little boy runs up to the mother and says, kiss me, I broke something again. Which mother could refuse? She says, that's the way we need to approach God, to go up and say, kiss me, I've sinned again. Kiss me with your mercy. Heal me. I've got a boo-boo. One of my favorite poems of St. Therese, and there were so many graces I may have shared with you. Did I ever share with you the grace that happened the day that she was a doctor of the church? Okay, I'll share that at the end because I think it will inspire you. But on that day, I was seated right up behind the cardinals because a friend of mine from Canada was a papal chamberlain who used to always borrow my notes when I was at the Angelicum. And I just straight out of the movie Rocky, when Apollo Creed said to Rocky after training him, I'm just going to ask you for one thing. You'll have to do me one favor. And Rocky, what is this favor? I'll tell you when it happens. And Apollo wanted to have another go at Rocky, just the two of them behind the scenes. I just kept saying to Jeff, I'm just going to ask you one thing. He was a papal chamberlain, an usher who would seat everybody, the diplomats and things like that. And so finally I came collecting, and I wanted to sit in a great place for St. Therese's being named a doctor of the church. I'll tell you why that was important in a second. But right before that mass, all of a sudden, a couple weeks before that, I had been in France, I had visited Lisieux, I had picked up a cassette with her poems set to music, and there was one that struck me because it had such beautiful music. It was performed by Sylvie Buisset, and it went like this. Moi, si je fais commis, if I had committed all the sins of the world, I would still hold the same trust. Because all our crimes are like a drop of water before the burning furnace of His mercy. Moi, si je fais commis tous les crimes possibles, je garderai toujours la même confiance, car cette multitude d'offenses ne sont pas rien dans le. Forgetting. Brûlant de son amour. She had that great confidence that nothing that she could do would amount to anything before the fire of God's merciful love for her. So she entrusted herself fully to it. An extraordinary lesson for us in this year of mercy. Saint Therese, when she was discovering what her vocation would be, wanted to be a martyr, and she couldn't really find what she was looking for when she turned to St. Paul's 12th chapter describing the various members of the mystical body. She was disquieted, but then at the very end of that chapter it said, aspire, set your heart on those greatest things of all, and I will show you a still more excellent way, the greatest way of all. And so she read on. And that's the great canticle of love, as you know. And she recognized that it was love that inspired the martyrs, that it was love that made the apostles evangelize, that it's love that made the saints, and that in the mystical body, one organ that penetrates everything is the heart. And so she wanted to be the heart of the mystical body, but she knew she couldn't be the heart. She just wanted to be in it. And so, ecstatic, as we read this morning in the Office of Readings, she said, dans le cœur de l'Église, je serai l'amour. In the heart of the Church, my mother, I will be love. That's not just her vocation, it's our vocation. And we know in this Jubilee of Mercy that that love is merciful. That no matter what we do, we're to be the merciful, burning heart of God's love. Saint Therese wrote to one of her adopted priest brothers. She had adopted two. She prayed in one of the last letters she had a chance to write him, that I am praying that you will follow the same way as me. This little way of entrustment to God's mercy. And she prays for us too, and the whole church prays for us today. And we ask God the Father that we likewise may follow this little way of spiritual childhood. So the story. So I was in the second row, right next to the relics of Saint Therese. All the cardinals leave. And during the ceremony, her relics and the crucifix were showered with rose petals. It's beautiful. They were gone. I went, and there were all these rose petals all over. So I went and I picked up a whole bunch of them. A lot of Carmelites were friends. I was sending these rose petals to all my Carmelite friends. And then to the others that I knew who were named Therese or Teresa. And then I was sending them out to others who I knew had devotions. And I still had, it was like multiplication of the rose petals. You just couldn't, frankly, send them to everybody. So I said, I will send some to my mother. I didn't particularly know that my mother had a devotion to St. Therese, but I knew my grandmother had a great devotion to St. Therese. And so I figured my mom had one, and she just didn't come out because her devotion to Our Lady was so conspicuous. So I put at the end of a whole bunch of cards, Dear Mom, I picked these up at the declaration of St. Therese as a doctor of the church, and I wanted you to have some. Love you, Joe. And went down about 9 o'clock at night to St. Peter's Square, where there's the slot for the Vatican post office, put it in. The way the Vatican mail system works is that at 9 o'clock in the morning, they collect the mail, and then they bring it to Fiumicino Airport, and then they send it to Switzerland, and then in agreement with Switzerland, Switzerland puts it in its postal service and eventually gets it to wherever it's supposed to go. Normally, it would take about 7 or 8 days for a letter to get from the Vatican to Lowell Mass. If you put it in the Italian mail service, it would take sometimes 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Huge difference between Swiss and Italy. So the following day at 5 p.m. in Rome, which was 11 a.m. in Lowell Mass, my mother calls me and she says, yeah, honey, thanks so much for your letter. Mm-hmm. I said, what? The letter with the rose petals. I'm shocked. I said, what are you talking about? Yeah, you said you were at the ceremony with St. Therese and you sent some beautiful rose petals. I said, Mom, a Concorde couldn't take off from St. Peter's down the Via della Conciliazione when it would be picked up and get it to Lowell on time. Can you just read me the card? I couldn't believe it. And she read the card exactly as I had written it the previous night. So I said, that's totally miraculous. She said, how'd you know? How'd you know what? How'd you know I was praying a novena to St. Therese? I said, I didn't know you were praying a novena to St. Therese. She said, I was, and I felt great. I said, well, Mom, this is an extraordinary sign. What are you praying for? She said, I'm praying for Aunt Gert, who was my great aunt, the closest that I ever had to a grandparent, because all my grandparents died when I was very young. My aunt had cancer, and so I felt really great that something was going to happen to my Aunt Gert that would be quite positive. And I said, Mom, that is extraordinary. She says, let me finish. So earlier today, I got a call from Aunt Gert. She was extraordinarily nervous. She was with her doctor. She said, Mitch, I'm really scared. The doctor came in and said, I have to run the tests again, and I think it's going to be really bad. Can you come over to the hospital with me to be with me when he gives me the bad news? So my mom sped across the city, was there, and the doctor came in, and he said, Gert, I have no idea how to tell you this, but your cancer's gone. That's why we had to rerun those tests. So first, the miracle of the mail. Second, the miracle of the ninth day of the novena on which the letter arrived. And then obviously the purpose of that. And so if you recognize why I have a great devotion to St. Therese, that's just one of the many reasons. But She, at the very end of her life, as you know, said that she was looking so forward to eternity because she would be able, in essence, to pray for us there, to allow those types of rose petals to fall. And so today is a day in which we're able to make a mini novena and just finish and ask for the big stuff. The biggest stuff of all that we can ask for is sanctity for ourselves and others. Saint Therese was very clear that we cannot become half a saint. Can't become saint by giving it 50%. We're either going to become a whole saint or no saint at all. And she wanted that great gift for herself and for others. That was her whole work. But to become a saint, we must become like a little child and entrust ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit to God the Father, who reveals himself in this way. The whole story of Job, in its essence, which finishes today, was to help him learn how to trust God again. And the greater spiritual blessing, the greater material blessings that came at the end of the book, was just to convey how when we trust God, even through trials, we will be blessed beyond our imagination. And in a materialistic world, that was with having daughters more beautiful than any of the girls on earth and higher numbers of animals. But we know that that's nothing compared to the spiritual benefits, and God wants to help us to learn to trust in him in that way. We likewise know that Saint Therese's greatest love was the Mass. She rejoiced to be in her convent what Sister Gabriella is here, the sacristan, so that she could even be closer in touch what God does. Today, as we come forward, let us ask her to help us to pray the Mass with the same devotion with which she did, as we're not only able to see what so many prophets longed to see and to hear, what so many ancients longed to listen to, but something far greater than they would have ever imagined having the capacity to do. As we sang right before this Mass, a poor and humble servant, a small little child, eats his Lord.